So welcome to Skyline. Glad you're here this morning. My name is Jonathan and excited to just kind of share some time. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'd know that we're working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, starting with the Beatitudes. And just kind of a little bit of background and history, what we've been doing is, if you were here kind of towards the first of the year, probably the third Sunday of the year, we talked about kind of what we're looking at doing this year and where we feel like the Lord is leading us. And one of the things that we talked about was trying to become what we would call a practicing community, a community that actually works on and makes the center of our church like practicing the way of Jesus. And what we said is we kind of qualified it by saying, like, in a lot of ways, the church has become more like a lecture hall, right? More like a college atmosphere where there's lots of talking, lots of listening, lots of ideas being shared back and forth, but very little actual practice amongst believers practicing the things that Jesus did and taught. And we said, when you look at the Gospels, you see Jesus leading his disciples day by day and giving them assignments to go and do things, right? He ends with giving them these assignments, right? The Great Commission, go into all the worlds, make disciples. But he also says, as the Father has done through me, like, I'm sending you out to do the same things. Like, you're supposed to do all the things you've seen me do. And even halfway through his ministry, he sent out the 72 and he says, go out, preach the kingdom of God, heal every disease, cast out demons, you know, I mean, do these kind of things. He actually gave them the authority and the ability through his power and his name to do these things. And so an author we've been kind of discussing, this guy, he wrote a book called Practicing the Way of Jesus. He said the church should look more like a dojo, right, than like a lecture hall. So a dojo literally in Japanese means practice of the way, which is kind of fascinating. So you go to a dojo to do what? To listen to theories about karate? No. Like, you go there to, like, kick somebody, which is awesome. And so we're not going to kick anybody at church unless you're weird, like, and you do something. No, I'm just joking. We won't kick you. But yeah, so you're looking at it and you say, okay, so what does that look like? And so kind of make some references even with, like, sports. So I played basketball growing up. And there is such a thing as, like, the theories behind the things you do on the court, why you do what you do on offense and on defense, and you have to learn schemes and you have to learn plays. But really, none of that stuff matters if you can't execute it on the court, right? If you can't actually do the things you've learned, it literally is worthless. And it was funny because I played with guys who, like, they knew so much about basketball. And even when it was just, like, not real, they were pretty good. And a real game happened and they were terrible. It was weird because you're like, man, you're so good when we're just, like, in the driveway. And then, like, in the real world, like, in the real game, it's just something's not clicking there, you know? And so I think as Christians, we have to start thinking about, like, can I actually do the things that Jesus did? And how do we become the type of people who can do that? So all of our groups at Skyline, our family groups, we gathered on a Saturday and we talked about this idea. What if our groups actually just became these little Jesus dojos? Right, where people came together and they actually picked a command of Jesus and practiced it together in community and built these experiments that were 4 to 6 weeks long around the commands of Jesus and said, what if we kind of put these into practice in our daily lives? Commands like love your enemies, right? Commands like blessed are the pure in heart. What does it mean to live pure in today's world? And so it was really cool. All these groups have kind of picked these commands. And then kind of the idea is as we preach through the Sermon on the Mount, when we hit one that a group is actually practicing, what we're going to do is we're going to give that group a Sunday to share what's been happening in their lives as they've been practicing these commands. So I'm really excited about this, just to hear from a group who's actually been practicing this thing and saying, here's what's happening in our lives. Here's what God's done in our group as we've practiced this command. So this Sunday's beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And our group, which you see on the front row here, is one of our groups has been practicing that command and kind of fleshing it out. It was like, what does it actually look like to hunger and thirst after Jesus, after righteousness? What does your life look like if you do that? So I'm just going to hand it over to them, and they're just going to share their hearts. And so I just really want you to listen. Because the key, here's the real key that we've said since the beginning. The kingdom of God is led by practitioners, right? It's not led by theorists. It's not led by professors or academics or seminarians. It's literally led by those who practice the way of Jesus. And if you practice the way of Jesus, you have authority in the church to lead and to teach and to share, like, what God's doing. And so I just want you guys to give your full heart this morning to hear what God would say through them to you this morning. So I'm going to invite, I think is Sue. There you go. It's yours.
Good morning. Okay, so our group, when we came, there was a Saturday morning leadership collective, and Jonathan kind of introduced this idea of doing experiments around something in the Sermon on the Mount. So he gave us some time to just go away as groups and kind of process through what that might be and what that would look like. So our group went off into a little room and prayed for a minute and just asked the Lord to speak about what he wanted to lead us in and what he wanted to wanted us to engage in. And so we prayed together, and then we spent just 5 or 6 minutes, not a long time, just listening to what the Holy Spirit had to say. So we turned on a couple of worship songs and read through the Sermon on the Mount kind of individually, and just asked him what he wanted to say. And so when that time was up, we started processing through and said, what stood out to everyone? What's the verse that stood out to you? What did the Lord highlight? And I think nearly every single one of us landed on hunger and thirst for righteousness. That was the thing that just jumped out and grabbed us. And so that seemed like a pretty decent answer that God was saying, maybe you should engage with this. So we started talking about what does that even mean? What does that practically look like? And so we took a week to pray through all of that and then came back together to kind of figure out what that could look like for us as a 6-week experiment. So as we processed through that, some things jumped out, that especially Romans talks a lot, especially in chapter 5, about righteousness being a gift given to all believers. Anyone who believes in Jesus is given righteousness. And then 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 talks about how we are in Christ, and Jesus has become our righteousness and our holiness. So if he is our righteousness, then we can't perform our way into righteousness. We can't act right enough to get righteous. It's a gift given to us. And if he is that gift given to us, then to hunger and thirst after righteousness simply means to hunger and thirst after him. So we thought, how can we do that as a community to practically walk out and stir up a longing to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And we decided there were probably lots and lots of ways we could do this, but we kind of landed on 3 things that we could do together as a community to stir up that longing. And the first thing is that we each committed to being in the Word every day for the 6 weeks, whether it's study time or a devotional time. We wanted to make sure that we were aware of everyone's personality types. So like to say to some people, you need to spend an hour reading and meditating is like they would rather stab themselves with a fork, and because they don't connect that way. So we wanted to make sure there was lots of freedom. So being in the Word might look different for some people. It might be taking one verse and worshiping around that or engaging that somehow. The second thing was that we committed to every day engaging in focused prayer, and kind of the same thing with being in the Word, like that can look different for everybody. And then the third thing was that we felt like we were being called to some sort of fast. So we decided that we would fast together every Wednesday for the 6 weeks. And then the super fun part about that is on Wednesdays when we meet, we break our fast and have a big party together. So it kind of binds us together community-wise, and it draws our hearts closer to Jesus in all of those 3 things. So we're just going to take a few minutes and share. We want as many people from our group to talk as are willing, and just kind of share their experience with you. One thing that we wanted to be really careful about was that our tendency just naturally is that we default into performance, and many of us in our group are recovering legalists. Hi, I'm Sue. I'm a legalist. I'm probably the worst one. And so that's our default mode. Like, we want to check off the things on our good Christian list. And then when we mess up or we don't do it, we start swimming in guilt and shame. So our one rule for this experiment is that there's no guilt or shame allowed. The whole point is to draw us closer to Jesus and to stir up a longing within our hearts for Jesus, because he says when we desire those things that we will be filled. So that's our one rule. No guilt or shame allowed. We're all just regular people trying to chase after Jesus the best we know how. And so that's what I hope that you'll hear today. So first up is Hallie, and then Ron's going to come after her, and they're going to talk about being in the Word. And then Melissa and Bethany are going to talk about their prayer times. And then Chris and Brian are going to just kind of give you a little snippet of their fasting experience. So that's kind of the lineup. So I'm going to turn it over to Hallie.
Okay, so before we started this experiment, I was kind of in this, if you've talked to me like in the last 3 weeks, you probably know this, but I've been going through this crazy like just confusion, like what is my life supposed to look like practically as a Christian woman in America who works a 9-to-5? How do I pattern my life after Jesus? Because practically I can't leave work every day and go be in the streets and preach the gospel and minister to the poor. I can't do that right now. So what is my life supposed to look like? And I was just kind of like in this frantic, hectic kind of phase looking for whoever I could pattern my life after. And when we started talking about hunger and thirst for righteousness, I kind of felt like we talked about the Word being our daily bread, and that's our every morning, that needs to be our fresh bread, our sustenance. And I kind of realized that God was kind of saying to me, of course you're confused, you haven't been eating. Like, if I were to go without eating for weeks, just food, I would be kind of in a crazy person mode. And I kind of felt like I was that way because I wasn't eating spiritually. I wasn't spending any time in the Word. And so I've kind of, I've really benefited from just, especially on Wednesdays when I'm fasting, kind of reading through the Sermon on the Mount every Wednesday. And I've noticed just kind of in different ways. We learned through a women's Bible study, she kind of suggested just to go to bed each night with a verse in your mind and to wake up with a verse in your mind. And it was crazy how that changed my whole mindset for the day. I would wake up, and just from going to bed at night with one verse kind of running in my mind, I woke up feeling like, I woke up one morning and it was so weird. I heard this thought in my head going through and I was like, I feel valued. I feel loved. I feel beautiful. I don't know I've ever woken up feeling that way before. Cause you know how it is. You're in the morning, you're like, hair's crazy. And you feel like I got to fix myself for the day. But I woke up feeling valued and loved. And, so that was really cool for me just to kind of experience that. And, I've realized too that in the Bible, there are so many verses about being filled and about God's, kind of abundant love, his abundant righteousness, that there's no end to him. You can have as much of God as you want. And so I've been just reading through verses that talk about hungering for God and how he fills us. And one verse that's been really good is, Psalm 36. So I'm just going to read a little part of that. It says, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So that's kind of been my mantra for the past couple of weeks, is that I want to feast on the abundance of his house and drink from the river of his delights. That, you know, food can fill me to a certain degree, but God can fill me to a whole other level. So that's pretty much it.
As our group decided that one of the things we were going to focus on was reading, I'm not a reader. If you want to see me panic, put me in the middle of Barnes & Noble, and you'll see me break out in hives and sweat. And so, you know, automatically that fear kind of comes over me of like, I know I'm not good at this. And so I started looking at this idea of reading, and it came to me, David, and he talks about, I meditate on your scripture day and night. And so I started looking at that word meditate. What does it mean to meditate? And so I started taking little chunks of the book of Psalms. If I started out trying to tackle, like if I said for the 6 weeks, I'm going to, you know, this unrealistic thing, I'm going to take on the book of Psalms and just read all the way through it, I wouldn't get too far because it would be overwhelming. But God kind of led me into this idea of taking small sections of scripture. And so what I'll do is just dive into a scripture until I find a phrase or a theme that kind of resonates with me, and then I stop there. So let's say one of the scriptures is, I'll recount your marvelous deeds. And so I'm stopping right there, and so I'm looking at that scripture with the idea of what is God saying and how do I respond to it. So that one's pretty straightforward. He's asking me to recount his marvelous deeds, And so throughout that day, I'm going to write down things that he's done in my life. I'm also going to choose worship songs that talk about his wonderful deeds. And so I'm not only reading, but I'm responding to what I read. So that has been a really fun experience for me. I'm in Psalms 9 right now, and it is recounting his marvelous deeds. And so I'm in a process of picking out worship songs that are talking about the wonderful things that he does. And so not only am I using reading, but I'm incorporating worship and doing practical things. One of the scriptures in Psalms talks about how he set the stars in the heavens and the moon. And so the week that I read that scripture, I actually went outside and did the same thing that David did, going outside and gazing at the stars and the moon. So really trying to make scripture practical and useful and not just a chunk of something that I'm trying to accomplish. And so that has been really good for me. And what I'm finding along the way is when I'm focusing on these phrases or a particular line or verse that he's given me, I'm also memorizing those as I go because I'm marinating in them throughout the week. And so I'm not very far into Psalms. We've been doing this for how many weeks now? We've been doing this for 3 weeks, and I am not very far along, but I'm going deep into the scriptures and asking that question, what is God saying? How do I respond to it?
One of the my favorite things about our group is our prayer and our prayer time. And from the beginning that we started to meet together, we really tried to be vulnerable with each other and open and to create a safe environment for each other. And so we just feel really supported by each other. We spend a lot of time praying and just listening to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us and for the person we're praying for. We come willing to share struggles and weaknesses and happy things, just everything. And we try to share our lives together. So through this experiment, it's been really neat to know that we're not alone. Like, we're going through this and Wednesdays are hard, or, you know, and we can text each other and say, I'm really hungry, or I am so weak. This is not, you know, and we just are there to encourage each other and remind each other that God is with us and he's our reason that we're doing this and our strength to get through it. And so I just love that. And we've also tried to do some of us during our Wednesday fasting time to focus on a person or something to pray for that day. And I really like that too, because it kind of just helps you focus your mind and thoughts on that. And when you're praying. Anyway, so I just love that, and I love that we just feel like we're not alone. That's my favorite part.
About 10 years ago, this verse was really special in my life, and I think that's when I realized that righteousness wasn't just some moral, sterile holiness or, like, I don't know, just some things that you do, but righteousness was when God, when everything is as was meant to be in the world. And so, like, the verse for me means, like, blessed are those who hunger for the good life, not in, you know, living it out, but just in the way that it was meant to be. And I thought that was 10 years ago, and I wasn't one of the ones that the verse hit when we were praying together. But just for me, I decided to just the first week focus on praying, like, that God would stir that hunger in me. And so I was reading through my journal last night, figuring out what I would share today, and I came across what I wrote on day 3. And I wrote down what I'd been praying those days. And for me, how I pray probably this kind of prayer the best is in the morning when I'm doing dishes and the kids are both playing. I can pray while I'm working. I don't have to think while I'm loading the dishwasher. So I can just pray, and I ask God a question, like, what does it mean to hunger? What does that look like? And so the first day, or, like, I was asking what I'm hungry for, like, where is my hunger? And he's like, I just hold that thought and just kind of expect him to speak through my thoughts, not just some direct bolt from heaven, like, this is obvious, but, and as I get thoughts, just turning them back to God and say, this is where I'm hungry. And so the first day, I just realized I knew I was hungry to know God as a person, to actually interact with him throughout the day, and to really truly trust in his goodness toward me. And then the second day as I was praying, I realized I'm really hungry to be in good relationships, be in community, to not do life alone, to not feel alone. And on the third day, I realized that, I realized that I didn't want to live afraid. I wanted to be secure and whole as a person and to be brave and free. And those words I don't feel describe me very well. So that's something that I'm hungry for. And I really haven't gotten very far. Those are the best 3 days of prayer, honestly, that I've had the 3 weeks. But I think I wanted to move on and be able to pray for, you know, big justice issues and oppression and poverty. But I think God wants me just to stay here in my hunger right now and ask that he'd meet me there.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I'm sharing a few thoughts on our fast. Son? Okay. I got to hold it close. And, you know, fasting, or just our verse was on hunger and thirst, and I automatically think of desire. And so, like, right away I was thinking, like, desire. How do you change desire? I mean, it's like desire is something deep within you, and you can't just change it. And, you know, I don't think there's any one answer to that and any easy answer, and I think God has a lot to do with changing our desires. But naturally, it just kind of came. You know, fasting is a way we can work with God, and fasting is kind of deals with desire. You know, we're hungry, we like, you know, for me, I thought, you know, this is going to be kind of a simple practice. It's not that hard. You know I can do it. But the reality is it's actually not easy to just, especially when you talk about, you know, one time it's kind of not that bad. But when you're once a week, you have this, dread or look forward to or whatever. You know, every week you got a day where, you go through the day without eating. You realize how... just how much of a part of us that is. And I guess for me, you know, you quickly realize, or I realized how easily I let hunger is a good thing. Food's a good thing, but how I can let good things crowd out even better things or deeper things or, you know. And so for me, fasting's been kind of a disruption of that normal hunger. And it's been about just creating a space and emptiness for God to fill, and for just a place for him to speak. And, you know, it's not been easy, like I said, and I think I could speak for all of us. We haven't really, like, all felt God speaking, during our fasts always. It's not like it's, like one of us said in their experience, it's something... Fasting isn't something you feel God working right away, but looking back, you can see what God was doing through it. And, you know, it was kind of neat for me. Fasting actually I found it cleared my mind up. On the days we fast, it feels like I'm sharper, I'm clearer, I can just, more aware. And it's not been that way for all of us, so, you know. But, and for me, the first couple of weeks, it was kind of neat because it was like God gave me kind of a little short epiphany during my fast. For me, I'm working. You know, it feels like I'd like to be able to just take the day off and go, you know, spend time meditating in the Word. And I have to work on Wednesdays. I can't just take every Wednesday off. But through that, it feels like God gave me a couple epiphanies. And last week, you know, I was kind of expecting it, and it didn't happen. It was just kind of a normal day. But I just wanted to close with, I think it was the second week, just a little... something God gave me during that day of fasting. And that was just, I was working, and all of a sudden just struck me. And it was like, all of a sudden not an audible voice or anything, but just, I felt God was speaking to me and just calling me to just remember to realize how much I've been living in too much stress with life and just everything going on. And I just felt him calling me to remember how much joy he has for me. And just, yeah, and so it was a place where he could just, it felt like he used that fast in my life that day just to call me and remind me that, you know, I am your joy. Food's good. Everything in life I've given you to enjoy, it's good. But ultimately, you know, I'm your joy. And just so just felt him calling me to just seek him more. And so that's what I have to share. Let's see.
Yeah, about the fasting thing. I'm not real good with the fast, and I knew on Wednesday that it was going to be the fast day. And when you work in a corporate environment, there's usually a lot of food around, a lot of people eating, and so it turns out I was eating like within 5 minutes of getting to work, and then I remembered at that time that hey, you're supposed to be fasting right now, and so. You know, I stopped and prayed, and then a couple hours later, I kind of forgot to get wrapped up in the day, and somebody says, "Here, try this," and then I ate again, and then I felt terrible. You know, I'm supposed to be fasting, and then so I stopped and prayed, and then I too had an epiphany. It kind of hit me that maybe I'm on to something here. I've created the reverse fast. And so what I found is, every time I ate, I felt, well, I need to pray right now. And throughout the rest of the day, I ate as much as I could, and I prayed more than I've probably ever prayed my whole life. So there you go. I don't know if you want to do something with that, Jonathan, but no, that's my experience.
That's my favorite thing ever. Oh, do y'all see why I love these people so much? Okay, we just wanted to wrap up with just praying for you. So we kind of have an approach to prayer in our group that is like no holds barred, free for all. So we're going to just do a little bit of that. And we just want to pray for you guys that God would stir up this hunger and thirst for righteousness over the next few weeks. And that whatever you're doing in your group, that he would just really be in. So we're just going to do that, and we'll have three or four of us just kind of pray over us, and then we'll wrap it up and hand it back to Jonathan. If y'all are praying, why don't you come up here, and we'll just pass it. Father, I just pray that you would come and speak, that Holy Spirit, you would just overflow in each and every one of us in this room, that you would stir up the things of Jesus, that we would just feel your nearness and presence more than we ever have.
God, I ask that for each person in this room, that you would bring the truth home, that truly we can have as much of you as we want in our lives or as little. And I pray that just by your grace and by your goodness, that you would create a hunger in each of us and a thirst for you. And God, that when we do that, it says in that verse that we'll be satisfied. And I pray that you would satisfy us, that you would, just unleash your goodness and your love and your faithfulness on us. That when we hunger for you, even if it's just a tiny, eensy-weensy little bit of hunger, God, that you would meet us there and that you would fill us with your righteousness, with your goodness, and that we would be satisfied. And God, I pray that if there are things that satisfy us more than you, I pray that you would show us how to kind of move that out to make room for you to satisfy us. I pray that you'd bring us to a place of a deep, deep hunger, not for the things of this world, but for your presence.
God, I pray for a season of hunger and thirst for the Skyline family. And God, even as we change seasons into spring, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would spring forth, that you would bring new growth, new birth. God, that you would bring about beauty. God, that we would marvel at your creation, that you are the creator, and you are infinitely creative. So God, we celebrate you. And we look forward to celebrating you in this season, that you would bring about joy. God, that you would bring about a desire to be with you, that we would have a desire to know you and be known by you. So God, we thank you for your goodness, that we can trust you, that we can lean into you because you are good.
I just want to share with you guys, I felt like the Lord during worship kind of gave me an image, which was there's a long table, and on the table there was a great feast. And the Lord said, just come wherever you are. Doesn't matter what's going on in life. And so when we approached the table, instead of food, there was just the word of the Lord on the table. And so I just want to pray that over you guys. Lord, I just pray that through the Holy Spirit, you would just bring us close to you, that we may sit and just be in your presence. Lord, that you would give us our daily bread that is your word and that it is your presence. And Lord, just I pray that through these people here that you will just, through your Holy Spirit, let them deep in their heart know that they can come to you wherever they are. Like Sue was saying, this isn't something that we do to get ourselves right. You've already done that. It's in your name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing. I love each of those and just what God's doing in our midst as we pursue. And it was interesting thinking about like Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. Remember, he sends the disciples off for food. They go and get food and they come back and they're like, what's he doing talking to this woman? She leaves and they're urging him to eat. And he's like, I'm not hungry. So he's like, send him to get food. They come back and he's like, I'm not hungry. And they're like, you have to eat. And he says, I have food that you don't understand, which is to do the will of my Father. Like my hunger exists to like obey my Father and like to be in his presence, to be in right relationship with him. And just love that idea. I just keep coming back to that as you guys share. And I loved what Bethany said is that God wanted her to just stay in that hunger for him rather than to do something for him or try to perform. Like he literally just wanted her and them to like want him, right? He wants to be your desire. And so that idea, I think, is just like I had a friend who preached a sermon this last couple weeks ago, and he was talking about like kind of the culture of the church should be one of longing and pursuit for Jesus. And Jesus describes so much of his description of the church as like the bridegroom, right? Waiting for the groom to show up, keeping your lamp lit. And you think about he was talking about his engagement period. Can anybody thinking back to that? Like one of longing is how he described it. He's like, when you're engaged, you're like, I just want to be married. And your kids, you'll understand someday what that means. But you know what I mean? It's just like, think about like your relationship with God as this longing to just be in his presence, to be one with him, right? It's amazing how much of the imagery of God, and as Ron said, like the Old Testament things, is almost romantic. It's like this love for God to be in his presence, to be one, to be intimate with him. So thank you for sharing that. What I love is it gives a picture of the church as not a building or programs, but a people who are being transformed by the practices and the way of Jesus. Obeying Jesus actually transforms. And what I love seeing too is one of the things we've kind of been latching onto this word a friend of mine coined called non-heroic mission. So what we want to do at Skyline is to lift up stories of normal people hearing the word of Jesus and responding with obedience, right? Not like super ordinary, like people who are doing crazy stuff and you're like, well, that's good, but I can't move to Africa right now, right? Most of us like work regular jobs. Like all these people here, I love it. It's like working normal jobs, pursuing Jesus throughout their day. So again, thank you for sharing that. And I'm excited as our other groups kind of get around to verses that were in Sermon on the Mount to hear what God's doing.